Now I will start to give you instruction. Please don't open your eyes. Never open your eyes. Now I want you to try to break down the components, the compactness of the mind, and journeying insight one by one as they occurred. This way of practice is practiced by Venerable Sariputta. As we know, the mind is made up by various mental factors and the consciousness. Now I want you to recognize each mental factor clearly, define each mental factor that knows the breath. So you remain breathing in and breathing out. At the same time, define each mental factor as instructed. The first one, passa, contact. The impingement of the air, of the breath, on the surface of the skin or under the nostril, and the impingement of the breath on the nostril causes the consciousness to arise, to cognize that movement of the breath is called contact, passa. Try to feel this mental factor. Feel it. Mentally note this mental factors as contact, passa. This mental factors perform its function of impingement. It is not a self. So please mentally note, it's just mental factor, not a self. The second one, consciousness. Consciousness cognizes the breath. So please understand, consciousness cognizes the breath. Understand it as consciousness that cognizes the breath. And it is just consciousness, not a self. Comprehend it is just a consciousness, not a self. Now we come to attention. Attention, the mental factors of attention direct your mind to the breath. Try to feel the attention, how it directs the mind to the breath. without attention direct the mind to the breath, you cannot aware of the breath. So try to feel that attention, manasikara. Once you have felt that attention, then mentally note it's just mental factors perform its function, not a self. The next one, feeling, vedana, feeling. Feeling experiences the pleasantness of the breath. When you breathe in, breathe out, you feel pleasant. The breath is very pleasant to you. Then it is the mental factor of the feeling that experience it. But if you feel the unpleasantness of the breath, it is also the mental factor of feeling, experience that unpleasant aspect of the breath. So recognize it, just feeling. Feeling, not a self, empty of self. Next, perception, perceive the breath, or marking, make a note, this is breath, or recognize, this is breath. So try to feel that perception, that recognize, or perceive the breath. You must be able to feel that mental factor. Once you have felt that perception, then mentally note it as just mental factor, not empty of self, or not a self. Next, volition. Volition, like like a general in army, give order to all the mental factors to act upon the breath, or contriving by arousing interest in on top of the breath. This mental factor of volition, acting upon the breath, or urging all mental factors to act upon the breath, is mental factor of volition. Feel it. Recognize this volition. You must always go back to the breath. Go to the breath and recognize the mental factor, then go to the breath again. Only then the mental factors will become clear to you. The next one, vittaka, application of the mind on the breath. Vittaka means placing the mind on the breath. So when you are aware of the breath, you feel a mental factor that place the mind on the breath. This vittaka, application of the mind. Always go back to the breath. Go back to the breath and go to the mental factor, to the breath again, to the mental factor again, to and fro. Once you feel the vittaka, application of the mind, mentally note, it's just mental factor, not a self. The next one, vichara, sustained application of the mind, or sustained attention on the breath. When your mind is not restless, when your mind is not wander here and there because of this mental factor, sustain attention on the breath so that your mind is not wandering. So recognize this sustained attention or sustained application of the mind on the breath. Feel it, recognize it. Then mentally note it as a mental factor, not a self, empty of self. Next one, effort, effort is you can feel that you are trying to know the breath again and again. This trying to know the breath again and again is mental factor of effort. Feel that effort. Go back to the breath and feel you are trying to know the breath, which is effort. In order to feel all this mental factor clearly, you must go back to the breath repeatedly. The next one, mindfulness, sati. Sati means not forgetful, not forget the breath. So when your mind is not forget the breath, it's mental factor of mindfulness. Recognize it. And if you forget the breath, then you recognize its mental factor of restlessness. Then, once you recognize the mindfulness, mentally note, it is not a self. It's just mental factor. Performing is function. Okay, now I want to conclude all this mental factor into four mental aggregates. The mental factor of feeling. The feeling has thus come to be is feeling aggregate. You have experienced the feeling just now. And the perception has thus come to be is perception aggregate. And the consciousness recognizes the breath. The consciousness has thus come to be is consciousness aggregate. The rest, attention, volition, application of the mind, mindfulness, effort, and so on, have thus come to be is formation aggregate. And your breath. Your breath is made up by four elements. The breath, which is made up by four elements, is materially aggregate. This is how there comes to be the inclusion, gathering together of five aggregates subject to clinging. And these five aggregates are dependently arisen. The four mental aggregates arise, depend on the breath. As I keep on giving you instruction, please follow closely. The five aggregates are dependently arisen, conditional phenomena. The four mental aggregates of feelings, perception, formations, and consciousness arise, depend on the breath. So they are conditional phenomena, dependently arisen. And the breath arises, depend on the body. Without body, the breath cannot arise. So materiality aggregate is also dependently arisen, dependently arising, and conditional phenomena. What is conditional? What is dependently arisen is impermanent, subject to change, subject to destruction. Please contemplate impermanent of these five aggregates. What is impermanent is suffering. What is suffering cannot be regarded as I, myself. Whatever phenomena they are connected with materiality, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness, please regard them as impermanence, subject to change, a disease, a cancer, an arrow, painful, an affliction, a lien, a dissolution, void, empty, not a self. These five aggregates are the truth of suffering. The desire last holding to them is the origin of suffering. Desire for the five aggregate is the origin of suffering. Desire for the existence of five aggregate is the origin of suffering. abandonment or removal of craving for these five aggregates is the cessation of suffering. The view of such person or the view of such is right view. The thought of such is right thought. Understand the five aggregates as suffering is right view. The thought of this is right thought. And the right action, right speech, right livelihood, this tree have been purified before meditation. The effort of such to know the five aggregates as suffering is right effort. The mindfulness of such, not forget these five aggregates are subject to suffering, these five aggregates are the truth of suffering, is right mindfulness. And the concentration of such is right concentration. Thus, the noble eightfold path, the mundane noble eightfold path come to fulfillment. And this understanding, this discernment of the Four Noble Truths also must be contemplated as impermanence. The understanding, the inside knowledge, the discernment of this Four Noble Truths also must be contemplated as impermanent, impermanence. As you contemplate five aggregates as impermanence, suffering, non-self, as well as the inside knowledge, then abide unattached to these five aggregates and inside knowledge. Let go the clinging to these five aggregates. When one abides uninflamed by lust, contemplate suffering of these five aggregates, then his consciousness is not dependent on it. His consciousness is not sustained by it. Without sustenance, the meditator is totally unbound. When one abides uninflamed by lust, contemplate suffering, then the five aggregates affected by clinging are diminished for oneself in the future. And one's craving, which brings renewal of being, is abandoned. So the last step is contemplate. The last step is abide unattached to your mind and to your breath. Without clinging to anything in the world of five aggregates. This way of practice is called yoga nada. Yoga nadang, samatha vipassana. Yoga nadang, samatha and vipassana yoke together. Okay, now if you are satisfied, you can gradually open your eyes. I don't know how you experience, only you know yourself better. But if you feel nothing, also don't feel discouraged. At least you know how to practice samatha and vipassana yoga together. And every time after your sitting, if you're practicing mindfulness of breathing, 15 minutes or 10 minutes before you finish your sitting, you should try this one again and again after, before you finish your sitting meditation. So you will get used to it. And as your concentration and insight knowledge increase, then you will really feel that the impermanence of the five aggregates, the suffering of five aggregates, the non-self of five aggregates, and the suffering of existence of five aggregates. Now, if you cannot feel it because your concentration and insight is not matured yet, but because our retreat is very short, my intention is to let you experience or understand the way of practice. Just like the first day, I explained to you how to practice Anapanasati up to achievement of jhana. This does not mean that I aim or I wish everyone to attain jhana. But as a teacher, as a nun who tried to explain the teaching of the Buddha, so we have the responsibility to explain to those who are interested clearly how to practice Anapanasati up to jhana. So also similarly today, while explain this samatha vipassana yoga together, I do not hope that you all can experience it deeply. I just hope that you know the way of the practice. So when I go away, you can practice on your own. This is my purpose. And this way of practice, you can find in sutta. Not created by me. You can find in sutta. I can quote one sutta for you. That is Majjhima Nikaya 64. Here the Buddha said, there is the case, Ananda, where a monk enters and remains in the first jhana, raptures and pleasures born of seclusion, accompanied by application of mind and sustained application of mind. He regards whatever phenomena there that are connected with materiality, feeling, perception, formations, and consciousness as impermanent, suffering, a disease, a cancer, an arrow, painful, an affliction, alien, a dissolution, empty, and non-self. After contemplating in this way, he turns his mind away from those phenomena. And having done so, inclines it to the phenomena of deathlessness. Then he contemplates the state of deathlessness. There is peace. There is peaceful. There is sublime. The resolution of all formations. The relinquishing of all acquisitions. The ending of craving, dispassion, stopping, and unbinding. And if he keep on practicing in this way, he can attain either non-returner or arahant. So this is the way how the disciple of the Buddha practice. Okay. Any question? Okay.
The sustained application of mind, is there only still one time? After this application, the initial application of mind, after sustained application, does it still only happen once after the, or it happens over and over again?
In fact, the two arise together. Yes, yes. Pass away, arise again, pass away, arise again.
Because I feel that there's something, I feel like my mind is actually watching breath. Instead of discerning when breath arises, I've been watching when breath is with. I feel there's something there that's constantly watching. Is that just the illusion that is that the sustained application?
Watching of what? You say your mind is constantly watching the breath. Then, your question?
My question is that thing that I feel that's watching the breath, is that actually just the sustained application?
Yes. If that mental factor is sustained, your energy there, then it's sustained application of mind. Because we have so many mental factors. Mm-hmm. You must be able to recognize one is different from others. You will not mix up everything.
But that thing that
No, watching.
In fact, it's a right. It's accomplished with one breath. It's just the illusion that I'm watching. I'm not dying, but is it an illusion that the thing that's watching the breath is constantly there, it's actually not constantly?
Not constantly, yes. It's changing. Yes, yes.
Breath.
It's changing all the time also. It's not permanently there.
Okay.
It's changing all the time. Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
And the use of the word formation is always synonymous with volitional formation?
Yes, yes. Formation aggregate? You mean formation aggregate? Formation aggregate. Volition is the head of formation aggregate. Your question is whether the volition. Volitional formation same as formation.
Is it occasionally the volitional aggregate refer to are volitions referred to or do you refer to volitions as
formation?
No.
Formation aggregate including according to Abhidhamma we have 52 mental factors exclude perception and feelings. The rest of mental factors like mindfulness, concentration, effort, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, and just now all attention, all these are under formation aggregate. But in this formation aggregate, volition, the mental factor of volition is the head, the chief. Okay? Yes? Majjhima Nikaya 64. And also another sutta from Anguttara Nikaya. From Anguttara Nikaya, they say that I just, because the time is up, I will tell you. So, one day the Ananda said, friends, whoever, monk or nun, declares the attainment of arahantship in my presence, they all do it by means of one or another of four paths. Which four? Four ways to attain arahantship. In fact, I want to read this sutta for you, but time's up. Okay? So, among these four, the third one is called Samatha Vipassana yoke together. It's just now the way I explained to you. So those monk and nun who attain arahant, they report to the Buddha while Ananda is there. So all of them attain arahantship by way of these four methods. One is Samatha Vipassana yoke together. This from Anguttara Nikaya 4, number, we have Anguttara Nikaya is follow number 1, 2, 3, 4, then Sutta 170. Okay?